Hi, GabFest listeners. Special producer Melissa Kaplan here. This is just a preview of today's bonus episode of the Political GabFest. The full episode is available to Slate Plus members. Learn more at slate.com/GabFestPlus.
Hello and welcome to a special Slate Political GabFest. The no conspiracy, no collusion, full exoneration edition. It is Sunday, March 24th. It's Sunday afternoon, and we're here because the Mueller report, or rather the Barr gloss on the Mueller report, has just been released to the public and sent to Congress. So I'm David Plotz of Atlas Obscura, and I'm joined, of course, by Emily Bazelon of the New York Times Magazine and Yale University Law School. Hello, Emily.
Hello.
And by John Dickerson of CBS This Morning. Hey, John.
Hi.
So, Emily, it is just minutes or maybe an hour or so after this Barr letter to the public and to Congress has been released. Is in it? What are the main headlines of what Barr has said about the Mueller report?
The main headlines are that according to Barr, Mueller concluded that the Trump campaign did not assist the Russians in trying to interfere with our election. That's headline one. And headline two is that Mueller wrote a lot about obstruction of justice, and we don't know the details of what he wrote. He did not reach a conclusion about whether Trump should be indicted for obstruction of justice. He left that decision to Attorney General Barr, and Barr decided not to bring such a charge.
And John, the president, of course, has already tweeted. He's called this I don't have the words in front of me, but it's a full exoneration, a complete exoneration, something of that sort. Is this a full and complete exoneration for the president? Has it been revealed that this is a witch hunt and that there was no collusion?
Let's see. Well, no and yes. Okay. So, no, it's not a witch hunt. If you look at the number of people that were interviewed and the thoroughness of the Mueller investigation, the president called it a hoax, or at least his campaign called it a hoax. It wasn't a hoax. Hoaxes can be, exposed pretty quickly. This was obviously something that was that required thorough investigation. There was enough smoke there to go looking into it. And by the way, we should all be really, really happy that while Mueller found the fact that the Russian government and Russian troll farms had an active effort to help Donald Trump get elected, that the president and his team, according to Mueller, didn't aid them in that effort. I mean, that's something about which people should be happy. Now, we do know that they were anxious to try to help them, because we know that Don Jr. got an email saying, "We have dirt from the Russian government. Would you like dirt about Hillary Clinton from the Russian government? Would you like to get it?" And he said yes and held a meeting in Trump Tower about it. So we know they were collusion curious. What Mueller has told us is that there was no actual collusion with those two efforts that he identified. Obstruction of justice, of course, is left open. The actual text of Mueller, we don't have much of it. But one of the things that we do have that's actual text of the Mueller report, not an interpretation by Barr of the report, is on obstruction. It says, while this report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, it also does not exonerate him. And that is basically based on according to the Barr letter, for each of the relevant actions investigated, the report sets out evidence on both sides of the question and leaves unresolved what the special counsel views as difficult issues of law and fact concerning whether the president's actions and intent could be viewed as obstruction. The AG decided in favor of not going after the president, but that doesn't mean he's exonerated by the actual language of the Mueller report. So now it goes to Congress, where lots of people would argue this is the right place for this. The founders set up a system for adjudicating these kinds of things, and it'll be, incredibly messy as Congress calls Barr and Mueller and all kinds of other people to come and testify.
So, Emily, because you're the lawyer on the call, just clarify. Barr talks about how Mueller he's not going to indict the president for obstruction, but nor is he exonerating the president about obstruction. And Barr's explanation about what this means is, for me as a layperson, confusing. Can you try to clarify what it means? He seems to be saying that because there is not an underlying crime of collusion or of conspiracy, that therefore there isn't, it's obstruction is impossible. Is that the gist of it?
Kind of, yeah, it's close. So there's a quote in Barr's letter from Mueller, and the quote is that the evidence does not establish that the president was involved in an underlying crime related to Russian election interference. So Barr then says, okay, so if you don't have evidence of an underlying crime, that's not determinative of whether you can bring an obstruction claim. You still could. But Barr says the absence of such evidence bears upon the president's intent with respect to obstruction. And then he goes on to say, like, generally speaking, it's going to be harder to prove all the elements of obstruction without this underlying crime. And those elements are that you acted with corrupt intent, you engaged in conduct that constituted obstruction. So it's, I think the word and is really important there. This notion that you have to have both of these elements. And, you know, Barr's conclusion here is not a necessary conclusion. And he himself says that you can have an obstruction charge without evidence that the person who you're indicting for obstruction deliberately participated in the underlying crime. But Barr's conclusion is that that would make it harder to prove. And, you know, we're also still in the realm of indicting the president, which is something the Justice Department has not given itself the authority to do in the past. Now, Barr says he's not relying on that as his reasoning here. So, in other words, he's trying to make a legal argument against indicting Trump for obstruction that would apply even if Trump were not the president. But it's hard for me to get that out of my head in light of all the ambiguity here. And again, you know, without knowing what Mueller wrote about the facts of this obstruction case that he decided not to go one way or the other on, it's just really hard to judge the merits of Barr's decision here.
So, John, I presume that we are going to get to see the whole Mueller report eventually, maybe not immediately, but eventually. Do you think that what Barr has done today has taken the wind out of interest in that? Is Barr's kind of headline conclusion and the fact that the president is not going to be indicted, Don Jr. is not going to be indicted, Jared Kushner is not going to be indicted, signal that this is going to lose valence for a lot of people, and therefore, if the full Mueller report does come out, it will be more to a whimper than a bang.
So more things are coming out this week. And we know that from reporting, which is that the Justice Department is, and a small group of Barr and some of, and Rosenstein and probably others are looking at the material and seeing what they can release. So I'm trying to think through the sorting here of how this goes. Lots of the grand jury material will probably not be released. You obviously had some portion of people who always thought the president, you know, that this was a hoax. Then you have some portion of people who think he's, you know, completely guilty of all things. So the people I think you're asking about are those people who, you know, have some preliminary judgments and are of relatively open mind about what the truth of this may be. It's probably a pretty small group. The fact that there was no collusion and the fact that this has been going on for 2 years will make, I think, politically, the next stage, the burden will be on the president's pursuers to say, focus on what keep the eye on the ball here, which is that the Mueller report doesn't exonerate or say the president is guilty. And there are just more questions to be sorted through when we see what the actual material is in the report. So, you know, I think we don't know the answer to your question for many more weeks now.
Emily, one of the things that I think is going to turn out to have been a masterstroke by the president's attorneys is they successfully prevented him from speaking to prosecutors, to Mueller's team. That there was no point at which the president sat down with someone from Mueller's team and had to answer the kind of questions that you or I would in a deposition or a criminal interrogation. And they simply provided written responses to a bunch of questions. Isn't as I think the argument for why he shouldn't have had to do it was it would be a distraction. But Mueller's team never pressed him on it, apparently, and never demanded it. Is that going to are we going to regret that as citizens, not to have had to hear from the president telling exactly why he did what he did and having to answer questions under oath about why he did what he did?
I think in the short term, yes, we are going to regret that because we don't have Trump's explanation under oath. And there is a way in which that plus, you know, Mueller's refusal to say that there wasn't obstruction, like that's going to leave a lot of people who are suspicious of Trump unsatisfied. In the longer term, we are left with a pretty good Supreme Court precedent in the Watergate case about the president being required to turn over materials that are subpoenaed by a special prosecutor.
Hey, GabFest listeners, we want you to hear this whole episode, which Slate Plus members get to do. So please subscribe to Slate Plus by going to slate.com/GabFest Plus to hear the whole special episode today.
I'm Dahlia Lithwick, and I'm host of Amicus, Slate's podcast about the law and the U.S. Supreme Court. We are shifting into high gear, coming at you weekly with the context you need to understand the rapidly changing legal landscape. The many trials of Donald J. Trump, judicial ethics, arguments and opinions at SCOTUS, we are tackling the big legal news with clarity and insight every single week. New Amicus episodes every Saturday, wherever you listen.